From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in May when voters in Pittsford had to decide whether they wanted to support full-day kindergarten. Here's something that might surprise you. Two of the top-ranked school districts in the state, Pittsford and Brighton, don't have full-day kindergarten. There are more than 700 school districts in New York State, and less than 1%, fewer than 10 total districts, don't offer full-day kindergarten. In other words, pretty much everyone offers full-day K now, but two of the top do not. We started our story in Pittsford, so here's what happened. Voters did not offer the needed support level to create full-day kindergarten back in May. In Brighton, however, voters did support a plan for full-day kindergarten. That will take a few years, but Brighton is not going to stick with half-day. For now, Pittsford is. And this hour, we want to have a conversation about those choices. How do voters decide based on their tax dollars, based on their understanding of value? What does it mean for young learners? What's the value of full-day kindergarten? We want to hear from you about how this impacts your family. We already have some emails, which we will read. You can also call the program to offer your thoughts as well here. My guests in studio include Mike Pirro, superintendent of the Pittsford Central School District. Superintendent Pirro, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Evan.
Also here is Kevin McGowan, superintendent of the Brighton Central School District. Kevin, welcome to the program as well.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Mike, I'll start with you. Because Brighton is one of, let's do this. Let's back up. How many districts? I mean, I said fewer than 10. You said before the hour began, it's down to 5?
Our most recent research with New York State Ed Department indicates that there are 5 school districts in New York State that currently do not offer full-day kindergarten.
Can you read that list for me?
Sure.
I would love to hear, again, more than 700 total districts in the state, 5 don't offer full-day K. Here's the list.
Pittsford, Brighton, Washingtonville, Shenandoah, and Habersham Strong Point.
That is it. And I think that would surprise a lot of people. Mike, for you, Pittsford was very keen to have voters support it, but it didn't happen in May. You needed to override the tax cap, which means you needed a supermajority of 60% of voters to approve it, and you got 54-55%, is that right?
That's correct.
Were you disappointed?
We were disappointed. We were particularly disappointed because we have spent quite a bit of time and resources exploring and researching the benefits of full-day kindergarten. And we always create a budget that's student-based, and we felt strongly that full-day kindergarten was in the best interest of our students.
We're going to, in a moment, listen to part of a video that Pittsford put together. This was a district that tried to communicate very specifically with voters. First of all, with promotional materials about why the administration and why the district thought this was a good idea, but also through a series of surveys, right, Superintendent, to make sure that you understood, do people want this? And if they do, how much are they willing to pay for it?
Correct. So we administered several surveys throughout the course of the last 2 years, receiving well over 3,000 responses from our community members. Some were informal through SurveyMonkey, and some were through the exit polls at the budget votes over the last few years. And overwhelmingly, our community does support full-day K, but that support decreased as we began to put different price amounts to full-day kindergarten. So, for example, in the surveys, 80-something percent of the community felt that there was strong value in full-day K, and when we asked the question, would you support it if it meant overriding the tax cap, and in many of the surveys, that number dropped to the mid to high 50s.
Looking at some of your questions, the general question, would you still support full-day K if a tax increase is necessary to launch it and maintain it? But just the general question of a tax increase, still had 76% say yes. So again, even when people understand your taxes are going to go up, people say, that's okay. Then you get specific, and then they start to kind of get a little squishier with that. But did you expect what you put out in May, did you expect it to pass at the 60% level you needed?
This was the first budget where I was holding my breath, to be very—
You knew it would be close.
To be very honest, I knew it would be close. It was, the timing was not great. We were coming off a year where our tax cap was at 0.5%. That's half of 1%. We're also coming into a year where we were requesting the voters to exceed the tax cap at a relatively large amount.
So just to back up, and again, I know sometimes budget numbers make our eyes glaze over, but when we hear tax cap, it changes on a year-to-year basis.
Correct.
And what Superintendent Pirro is saying is, based on the numbers and the formula that exists, you're only able to offer a half of a percent of an increase, and anything more than that, you needed that 60% threshold. With full day K, what did you need from voters? What
was going into last year's budget, our tax cap was 2.7. Mm-hmm. The year before it was 0.5. We needed 4.7 in order to fully implement a budget that would not result in any program cuts and at the same time allow full day K.
How much are we talking about for the average household, or how did you kind of break it down for people?
It was approximately $100 per household.
$100 a household?
Based on a $250,000 home. To bring the addition of full day K on.
And so you knew it would be close, and it didn't happen. You didn't get that 60%, and then you had to sort of kind of come back and try to pass something. And then next go around, full day K gets taken out, and you pass it. Is that correct?
Correct. We passed it over 70%.
What do you do next with this, Superintendent Pirro?
Well, I think the good news in all of this is that there's certainly been a lot of conversation about the value of full day kindergarten. As we talked about earlier, our community does value full day kindergarten. Their concern is mostly relative to the tax cap. My hope is this year we're going to have, or at least be in a position to have, a higher tax cap than we did this year, that will receive more state funding. We'll also have more support from the legislators and the governor, the Senate, the Assembly, all seem to be on board with supporting the five school districts that are left. And at the same time, our goal will be to present a budget with full day K in it while also being under the tax cap.
Next year.
Correct.
Next May.
That is our goal.
All right. They'll go for it again. And when I mentioned the fact that the district put out a video, just sort of an informational video explaining to voters, this is why we think this matters for us. This is just a portion of that video that voters had a chance to see before the vote.
It's really important that we remember that kindergarten isn't just about academics, that the biggest part of this year is getting the children adjusted to coming to school and really preparing them to be part of our educational system as they start this lifelong journey.
I know that when my kindergartner comes home from school each day and I ask things like, did you get to talk to your friends about the soccer game this weekend? His answer is always no, because they don't have the time for that social interaction. They don't have lunch, they don't have recess, they don't have that extra time to play and really be kids at school.
The curriculum is very challenging. Fitting it all in a half-day program is very challenging. So the pace that we move at in a half-day program makes it very challenging for most children.
All right, so that's some of the video that Pittsford put out. And Superintendent Pirro, when we talk about the half-day, it was over before noon, right? It starts when, ends when?
That's correct. Our current half-day program is 2.75 hours in duration.
It's not even 3 hours.
Correct.
That's a lot of work for—and again, I do not want to— The last thing I want to do is listeners to hear me say, well, we got to start with college prep, Superintendent. That's a lot for, you know, in 3 hours. So that's not the goal here. But we do know that a combination of play, recreation, learning should be happening at that level. And for your teachers, what is it like in less than 3 hours trying to kind of accomplish those kind of goals?
Our teachers are phenomenal. It's absolutely amazing to watch what they do in such a short amount of time. And they do everything they can to help our students meet and exceed standards. But what they're not able to do, I think, breaks their hearts. And we know better at this point, and everyone should know better, that our students can do a lot more positive things if the classroom was a full-day classroom. Currently, some of the things that our students are not able to do are have daily opportunities for reading, writing, and math. So currently, we go every other day with that. Full-day K would allow a slower, more relaxed setting. It would allow more developmentally play-based learning to occur. We would have more daily time for free and choice activities for our students, and also opportunities for fine and gross motor skill development. What we're finding is that the half-day program puts our students, and according to the data we've collected and the research we've done, it puts them behind going into first grade.
All right, so this is an important point that I'd like both superintendents to hit, because in a moment we're going to hear Brighton's picture and what they're doing with full-day kindergarten. I also see the phone starting to ring, and listeners, if you want to join the conversation about full-day K, would you have support? Most districts have it now, but again, as a voter and a taxpayer, is it the kind of thing that you think should be supported? 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Superintendent Pirro, there is a perception out there, I think, and I'm overgeneralizing here, that Brighton and Pittsford are such good districts that maybe you don't need full day K. Look how good your district is already. Why should we support an increase for this?
As we looked at local districts and benchmarked our students that were in our half-day K program and compared them to local districts that had full-day K program, what we found out was that 68% of our Pittsford students were at benchmark for reading, whereas 86% of students that attended a full-day K program in any of the other districts locally were at benchmark. So right off the bat, it tells us that our students are starting behind, that we have about 20% less students making benchmark after kindergarten because of half-day K. And then more importantly, it's about as they move from K to first grade and first grade to second grade, those students are having to receive more supports. Some of them are pullout supports, extra reading, writing, math supports. And then we start to worry a little bit about their view of themselves, their confidence level, their view of their learning. And so there's multiple factors, I think, that I would love for people to hear and understand relative to what our students go through because we have a half-day program.
So hold that thought right there, because I think our first caller wants to kind of weigh in on maybe why she's not on board. Ellen in Pittsford, why don't you follow up with that? And I know the superintendent wants to share more about how he sees the value of full day. Okay, go ahead, Ellen.
Yeah, hi. I did not vote for full-day kindergarten. I think our outstanding high school, the success of the kids speaks for itself. I don't believe our demographic requires the full-day kindergarten. We've got a load of stay-at-home moms. And also you have, for any remedial work that's needed for the kids coming out of kindergarten a little bit behind, the remedial help is already built into the budget. And obviously, it connects by the time the kids are in third and fourth grade. And I think that your numbers for how much would have cost the general household are way under what I estimated, because it would have cost extra in taxes. And the loss of the tax cap, the way you did it, first of all, you didn't explain it in the information coming to the families. My numbers came out that we would have lost a load more money in terms of losing the payback that we get because of the staying within the property tax cap. We would have lost a lot more money than you're expressing, and where it would be nice to give people full-day babysitting for their children, I don't think
academically
it is required.
Ellen,
okay?
So Ellen, so hold, can you stay there, Ellen? Are you there? Did you hang up?
Sure.
Okay, stay there for a second. Calling it full-day babysitting is really pejorative and, I think, intentionally inflammatory. I mean, like, hold on.
One of my friends, I'm not a pejorative.
Ellen, you're on hold. We're going to come back to you. You can't just run over a conversation. We certainly welcome your thoughts here. It's not full-day babysitting. That's not what they're putting out for vote here. And look, I'm a parent with a son going into full-day K in the fall. So, you know, I can tell you that I don't view it as babysitting, and that's not necessarily fair. Second of all, I don't live in Pittsford, but producer Megan Mack did a lot of work the last couple of days, and I've tried to read up as well. And, you know, I think I can understand the numbers. I am interested to hear why you think the numbers are somehow not fair, but why don't we let the superintendent respond? Because I want all voices here. I don't know why we go with full-day babysitting. That's not what it is. But anyway, good. Superintendent, go ahead.
Thank you, Evan. And thank you, Ellen. I think that part of the problem is we live in a different world today on a couple of different fronts. We have legislation that has created this tax cap, which is this number that's just out there. It's never 2%. Sometimes it's well under. It's rarely ever over 2%. And there's punitive damages to districts if they try to go over that number. And so once you go over the tax cap, Ellen's right, you no longer are eligible for your rebate check. And I find that very unfortunate, because districts can no longer create budgets based on need. They have to create budgets based on, again, this arbitrary number. Relative to kindergarten, I would hope that more people can come in and learn more about what our students need to know and be able to do by the time they leave kindergarten. Currently, in the last 5 years, with higher learning standards and a more rigorous state set of standards, we're now responsible for having our students learn more in a relatively shorter span of time. And the impact that could have on our students is additional stress load. For example, in math alone, there's a much more higher focus on subtraction in kindergarten. And you heard me say before, we're only able to teach math every other day. Students are asked to solve addition and subtraction word problems within 10. They're asked to decompose numbers less than 10 into pairs more than one different way. They're asked to do more with long vowel sounds. They're asked to write opinion pieces. That was never the case. We have to prepare our students to meet and exceed standards, but it's more than academics. We need to provide our students the time to interact with one another, to have more engaging experiences, more creative experiences, more authentic experiences. We need to develop social skills. We need to develop a level of readiness for first grade, and we can do that, and we will do that. As soon as we have full day K.
But Superintendent, let me just ask you then, before I let Ellen have one more word here, which is this. If it's that important, why don't you shift resources from elsewhere in the district?
We also in the surveys, we heard loud and clear from our community, especially at the secondary level, that if we support full day K, but not at the expense of any other program. And so what our challenge is to find a way to sustain full day K and not remove or eliminate additional programs. We heard loud and clear from our community that they really adore, appreciate, respect our amount of electives and our APs and our STEM and our STEAM and our music and our athletics. And we see the value in full day K. And our challenge this year is to put it in the budget. And I feel strongly that we're going to receive a lot more support from the legislators to make that happen.
Okay. Lastly, I think our listeners should know that New York State, as was mentioned earlier this hour, on the state level, there's this idea raised by at least one member of the assembly, and it sounds like the superintendents think it has some momentum, to say, okay, any remaining districts that don't have full day K, we're going to help you bridge the gap. We're going to help you transition. And Superintendent Pirro, I think some listeners would say, wait a second. If your district wants to support it, they can support it. Why should my tax dollars, if I live in Spencerport or anywhere, support you getting full day K if your voters keep voting it down? Don't you have to be more, you know, responsive to your voters and not state taxpayers as a whole?
You really have to understand financial aid or school aid and how that flows. Currently, we get half the amount of aid because our students are in half-day kindergarten. The way it stands, if we were to move to full-day kindergarten, we would still receive half-day aid, which makes no sense. So all those other school districts and communities that may be concerned that we're getting more, actually what we'd be getting is equal.
Okay. So, Ellen, one more response there. Please go ahead.
Yes, my simple comment is that whatever you are doing now, the balance you have in terms of remedial help, bringing the kids up by third and fourth grade so that they can succeed in high school, is borne out by the fact that Pittsford is one of the top 50 high schools, both Pittsford high schools. We're among the top 50 in the United States. And I say that whatever you're doing now is working, and it is without the full-day kindergarten. If the state wants to subsidize it, fine. But this decision was made a long time ago, and I don't think it is fair to do it on the back of taxpayers who are living in one of the few most highly taxed states in the United States when you've already showed demonstrated success. It's nice to have everything, but you can't do it on the backs of local taxpayers when you're already succeeding.
All right, Ellen.
So the kids are a little bit behind after first grade. They catch up by third and fourth, and okay. I've had kids through the school. I've got a degree in early childhood education. I'm not ignorant about this, and I'm just saying I really don't agree. This die was cast years ago, and it's nice for you to want to expand it, but I don't think it's necessary.
Thank you.
Ellen, thanks
for the good job you're doing, by the way, in the Pittsford schools.
Well, okay, Ellen, first of all, thank you for that. And I know the superintendent appreciates you pointing out the fact that their high schools are very highly ranked. Mike, she's right about that. And what she seems to be saying is similar to the conversations you have with young parents. Again, I'm a parent of a five-year-old. I see my five-year-old's language develop differently than friends who also have a five-year-old. And I see his motor skills develop differently. But often you're heard, relax. At some point, things sort of even out. Speech, reading, that kind of a thing. And what Ellen seems to be saying is, look at your high schools. They are so good that if you think you're behind at the second or third or the fourth grade level, things catch up, and your district proves that. And as a taxpayer, she's having a hard time with it. So final thoughts for her on that point.
Well, thank you, Ellen. I have to go back to good is the enemy of great sometimes. And we do have an extraordinary district, and we do score amongst the best in the state, and we are among the best in the country when you look at grades and you look at performance. We can do better. We can do better by focusing on the whole child. We can do better by focusing on the whole child at the early ages. We're seeing stress and anxiety increased with our younger kids. I feel that there's a direct connection to enhanced expectations for five-year-olds that can be attributed to that. I think it's hard to put a number on how a student feels about coming to school. Kindergarten is extremely vital. When I think about being a parent and your child going to kindergarten for the first day, the world feels like it's dropping. It's your most precious thing that you have is now growing up and going to school. Our job is to make sure that while that child is there, we offer the best experiences possible for him or her, and we can do better.
All right, let me grab one more call, and then we're going to turn to Superintendent McGowan, who's been nothing but a nice referee here, just sort of taking stock so far. Judy in Pittsford. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi, yes. My kids went through Pittsford School. They're long since out of school, and they had a very good experience there. I voted for the budget with the kindergarten, full-day kindergarten. I completely support it. And to the woman who called saying, we're doing well enough, that won't be well enough for very long. And if you let your school district slide and you don't completely fund it, and full daycare, full everything education is simply a part of the future, then you won't have your housing values for very long. So that's my comment. I think it's ridiculous to think you can sit on your laurels and not promote the school forward.
Judy, thanks for the phone call. Mike, some response there.
I appreciate the response, Judy. And I agree. I think about any successful business, and if they refuse to change and evolve to the times, that business will not be successful any longer. So I appreciate your comments, and I support them 100%.
All right. When we come back from our only break, we will take more of your calls. You're going to hear how Brighton addressed this issue in their district, because they did it a little differently, fair to say, Superintendent McGowan?
Sure.
Okay. Yep. So we're talking about full day K, the value of full day kindergarten. If you missed it off the top of the program, there are more than 700 school districts in New York State. And now, the best we can tell, Mike Pirro, for the superintendent of the Pittsford Central School District, says, the State Department of Education reports there are now 5 remaining districts in the entire state without full day K. Brighton and Pittsford are 2 of the 5, and Brighton is going to have full day K. So that leaves us with 4 in New York State without full day K. As parents, as voters, as taxpayers, what do you think? And are you seeing the value? You can continue the conversation with us if you like. If you're on the line, hang there, and we'll hear from Superintendent McGowan of Brighton when we come back. Coming up in our second hour, it's the Summer of Food on Connections, and we explore the local food system. How well do you know your local farmers? Do you know the name of the people who grew the food that you ate last night? Did it come from Western New York? Well, the Headwater Food Hub aims to tie together local small farmers with one commercial partner, making food access and good food access easier for everyone. Is it working? We'll find out next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. You heard Superintendent Pirro explain that Pittsford will give another shot to voters next May when the budget comes back for full-day kindergarten. But for now, the voters spoke in May and said no to it. In Brighton, they said yes. They did it a little bit differently, and Kevin McGowan is the superintendent of Brighton. How did you guys approach it over there?
You know, Evan, this is interesting. First of all, Mike and his colleagues in Pittsford have done, I think, a really incredible job in that video, but also in Mike's responses today, laying out how important this is for kids, and I appreciate that. every community has different dynamics, and every vote, every consideration of tax dollars is different in every community for a wide variety of factors, you know, most of which would take hours on the show to get into. So even the culture within the community and within districts around the types of committees and how they work on these things, and then the history to them and the people who are on those committees or on the school boards and who has participated in these types of discussions in the past, they really shape how the decisions take place. So our district had studied full day K several times over many, many years. The last study was done, I want to say, about 3 years ago now. And we had a large committee of community members involved. They looked at really primarily the academic benefits first and foremost. And then they looked in a separate subcommittee at communicating with families and asking them for their perspectives. And another committee looked at what the capital concerns would be or the space needs would be. And the conclusion, the recommendation to the Board of Education at that time, to me and then to the board, was to move ahead with planning for full day K. The board authorized us to do that. But in some ways, that decision around going ahead with full day K for ours was very different than Pittsford because it required us to build. So we weren't really putting up a referendum or a budget that said, how do you feel about full day K? The board adopted it with relatively little fanfare because the community at this point, after studying it several times, was pretty much behind it. But it was a little bit further off because we didn't have space like Pittsford does in order to have the program. So we could also have the luxury of time to plan for it financially, thinking about building those positions over time, knowing that we didn't have the space for it right away anyways. So then last year, 2 years ago, based on the recommendation of one of those subcommittees, we looked at a building of ours that was being used by other community groups, but not currently a school building, for renovation. The cost was very high to do that. Went out, talked to the community about that. That committee had recommended we look at that building. It was a larger footprint, presented a great opportunity to kind of redesign our K-2 approach, but again, very expensive. So we went out and asked the community, how do you feel about that? And I'd say the reaction was pretty mixed. I think people were excited about the idea of a new environment and how that would incorporate full day K, but again, the cost was a real concern. So taking that feedback, we didn't put that up for a vote. We continued to think about how that would work. And then this past year, we launched a much more comprehensive K-12 capital project that would also include space at our existing elementary building in order to accommodate full day K. The conversation around whether to go to full day K or not was relatively limited, and sometimes it came up relative to cost. But for the most part, there wasn't a lot of discussion about value. There was an occasional question or two, and we did get into that. And we tried to think of a few different ways. With all due respect to Ellen, the previous caller, I do want to comment on that issue around, she called it full day babysitting, and it sounds pretty negative. But I think if everybody steps back emotionally from this for a second and thinks about it, you've mentioned a couple times five districts of 700 some. Now, Pittsford and Brighton, we like to be leaders. We like to not think that we're following other people. I'd say the overwhelming evidence is this seems to be a good idea if 655 or so other districts think it's a good idea. So I think that's something to pay attention to. But there is this concept that comes up once in a while around, well, we shouldn't have to pay for childcare for people. And I'd like to flip that a little bit and think about that in a different way and say, well, you know what? I think sometimes that's projecting some of our social values onto other people when we say, well, somebody should be home with those kids. There should be somebody staying home. They shouldn't have to have that child care. Well, that's not a reality for a lot of people. It's just not. And whether that's, you know, the choice that other people were able to make years ago, or they judge that choice because they think that they could do different things with their money than have both people work, I'd say that that's not ours to judge. And the reality of society right now and the expense of raising children and the expense, by the way, of living in our communities, which we recognize, often requires that more than one person in the home are working. So it is, I think, okay and reasonable to actually have a conversation about the fact that childcare is a concern for people. I don't think it's terrible to step back and say, you know what, maybe that is something we should be thinking about. While we're asking for more taxes, we have to be cognizant of people's ability to earn money to support that. So that's one factor.
Let me, before you continue, here's an email we had from a listener named Emily who said, Evan, I live in one of these districts and teach in the other. I'm a single mom of three kids, and not having full day kindergarten cost me about $18,000 in modest wraparound care. which is significant money in my world. I teach English language learners with a half-day kindergarten program. It is impossible to give kindergarten students their full federally mandated service. Some of these students should be receiving 72 minutes of service a day. When they are only at school for 2.5 hours, you can see how hard that would be. I've been told to give them 30 minutes of service. Most of the parents of English language learners are not U.S. citizens and therefore cannot vote in school budget or board elections, even though they pay taxes. When communities refuse to pay for full-day kindergarten, they are disenfranchising my students. So this is a teacher who's worried about her students and the families they come from, and also her own family as a single mom of three.
I think she's right all the way around. I think it's a great point. And, you know, to Mike's point earlier, if you think about this in terms of different groups of people, our staff in both districts at the kindergarten level, they do an incredible job of doing a lot with a little, with a very small amount of time. And one of my children went through the program and another one's on the way, and I couldn't ask for a better experience for them. But I also know that given more time, there's so much more that they would like to be able to do. Not more to make first grade kindergarten, but more to be able to go deeper with what they're already doing, more to go deeper with the relationships that they're forming, the discoveries that they make, the relationships and the friendships developed through learning by play. There's just so much more that could happen. And to her very technical point about services provided to students, absolutely, that's a key point. She brings in a broader context around marginalized groups. The tricky part about this for Brighton and Pittsford is a lot of the research around this, and you know, I speak just from the perspective of my own doctoral research, was in the transition to kindergarten, actually, and the value of high-quality kindergarten and pre-K programs. There is certainly a lot of evidence, and it's hard to make the case very directly that, you know what, if we have full day, our scores will go from here to here. Because to the caller's point, our kids do really well. They do. In both districts, they do really well. And I doubt that you'll see a significant change in a score, but that's not what we're talking about. Mike really eloquently saying good being the enemy of great. We can get better. We can always grow. We can always go deeper. We can always set them up for a better experience. She's right that in most cases, by third grade, most studies would tell you that kids do catch up. The reality is, do you want them just to catch up, or do you want them to have a better experience while they catch up, maybe a less stressful experience while they catch up, and a more enjoyable experience all the way around? The other piece of the studies are really based on kids in at-risk populations. So yes, most of our results look mostly good most of the time, but what more success could particular marginalized or underrepresented populations have if they have a full-day program? I can tell you those results will be different, and we will see that in both districts. But because those are small populations for both of us, it's not as visible to most people, and it's a difficult conversation to talk about.
And sometimes people speak monolithically about Brighton and Pittsford as if you have nobody in that position.
Correct.
And that's, you may have fewer families and parents in that position, but you're thinking about them too.
Absolutely. And those outcomes are usually not seen until the high school level. And many of those studies, again, are done in places where they're looking at, I know it's an old term, but juvenile delinquency, dropout rates at higher levels, and they trace that all the way back to high-quality K and pre-K programs. We know that with better programs at that level, and again, our people are doing a great job right now, but with more time, a better experience, a longer experience, a deeper experience, that those kids are likely to have a better trajectory, better experience as they get older, and sometimes that result won't be seen until the high school level.
All right, so your vote entailed new build. So, as you say, your full day K doesn't start until 2021?
Correct.
Okay. It passed with the voters at what margin?
84%, I believe it was. 84%. But that was our total budget that included the capital project.
Yeah. And okay, so it included the capital project. And what was the estimate to taxpayers on what they would have to pay additionally to get full day K?
So in this current budget, it's not broken out by specifically for a particular program. It was included as part of the older overall budget. We have identified in each budget, though, the positions that we are building towards. So, for example, I believe in this budget there are 2 teaching positions currently budgeted, and that it continues to grow. But we don't break it down by specific grade level or program, because for us, we really had to build the space. We could grow the instructional program to get to that point.
Okay. And before I go back to your phone calls, let me also ask Kevin this, which is, I joked before the hour began that, you know, Pittsford and Brighton kind of get lumped into conversations about schools a lot, but their budget votes are different. I mean, Pittsford, it's a little closer. Brighton gets 80 to 90% at the drop of a hat. And I joke with Kevin, I said, you can advertise that you're going to build an aircraft carrier for every classroom, and voters would probably pass it at about 86%, regardless of the cost. I think that's unfair, probably. What you are saying is that you still had to work with voters to make sure they understood, yes, we're going to do the full day K. Yes, there's a cost to it. And here is why we see the value, and here's why we're sensitive to that. That you don't just take for granted that they will rubber stamp anything.
No, not even close. I should point out we're not building any aircraft carriers for sure. It's not in the mix, not in the strategic plan. But yes, we have been very blessed to have a very positive and supportive community and turnout over time. We have done outreach as Pittsford has done. It, again, these decisions, every district, the dynamics are going to be a little bit different. But people have been, and we have been talking to them for a long period of time. And when I say this was studied multiple times, by the time we were at this decision point, it was, you know, something people were very used to. They were waiting for it. It had been kind of gearing up for many, many years.
Okay. And I know Superintendent Pirro, he wants to add one more thing. We are coming right back to your calls. Let me also ask you just for clarity, because Brighton will start in 2021 with full day K. Had you passed in May the budget that you wanted, you could have started full day K as soon as when?
September. This September.
This September.
In 1 month.
Okay. You've got the capacity. You've got the space for it. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. I know you wanted to add something.
Just
go ahead.
One of the things that I appreciate Kevin sharing is that there every community is different. But at the same time, I don't want it to sound like Pittsford is not a supportive community relative to our budgets. It's contrary to the truth. Our community is amazing. Our taxpayers are amazing. Our kids are phenomenal. Our employees, our staff, it's a tremendous place to be. And prior to this vote, when you back up a decade, our budgets were passing in the 50%. The 5 years prior to this, we were in the 70%.
Okay.
So what I'm seeing is more involvement in our community and more support from our community. And last year was truly an anomaly. We asked our community for an override. A small fraction of school districts in the state ask for that because of the punitive consequences. So I just want to make it clear that our community is very active. They're involved. They're supportive. And I look forward to continued support in our budgets moving forward.
All right, let me grab some phone calls. Robert in Fairport. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
There are a couple things that I remember when the vote came up that seemed to be circulating around. One was that quite a few facilities were added with the expectation that enrollment would go up, and some of these were athletic-related sports fields that were artificial turf, pools, stuff like this. Looking at the enrollment numbers, they're down about 5% from peak levels, and I'm kind of curious, number one, you know, what is the enrollment trend in the Pittsford schools? And number two, are the bills just starting to come in for those athletic facilities that were paid for with bond issues?
Robert, thank you. Go ahead, Superintendent Pirro.
Thank you, Robert. There was some inaccurate information, I think, that was out there around the time of the budget. There's some things that you absolutely said that are valid and true. We did build two turf fields, but that was after 5 years and multiple feasibility studies relative to the condition of our fields and the money that we were spending. The fields in them this year came up as far as the first payment. And that, again, was another factor for earlier I talked about timing. That timing was made it tough because there was more of a payment obligation for this year, and that number goes down continuously. The average cost for the taxpayer for those fields and facilities that were definitely needed was about $4.95 total. But this year was much higher because it was our first payment, and that number will average out to be about $4.95 as presented to the public during the referendum. We do not have money that we've put into pools. We've been working really in a very much collaborative fashion with places like the YMCA and the town and the rec department and sharing facilities and trying to keep down costs. And relative to enrollment, enrollment has been, it's interesting when you say it's down 5%, it's been decreasing about 1% a year, which is much less significant than most districts across the state. And currently we're seeing our enrollment flatten.
Okay. What's the enrollment at Brighton?
We continue to grow very, very slightly. We consider it relatively flat, but part of our building consideration was to make sure we had additional space because we do see some growth.
All right, let's grab more phone calls. Liz in Brighton next on the phone. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi. I have a daughter that's going to be going into half-day kindergarten in Brighton in September. And she is going to be pulled 3 days a week for speech. And to me, losing half an hour 3 days a week out of half-day kindergarten seems like she's going to be missing a lot more of that very shortened day. How do you feel that the teachers can accommodate for something like that?
Go ahead. Thanks, Liz. Go ahead, Superintendent.
Well, I'd say, first of all, three cheers for class of 2030, because I'll be a parent with you, so I can't wait to see you at orientation. That's always an issue for at any level, K-12, when students are pulled for additional services. But I think the premise that you're being pulled and you're losing as opposed to gaining when you're pulled, it would be difficult to make up that particular amount of time. I mean, that's part of the rationale behind going to full-day kindergarten. But we also know that when students are pulled, teachers are very good at making sure that whatever children are missing during that time in the classroom is accommodated. Often the teacher that is pulling them is doing things that might be related to or similar to what they're doing in the classroom, just in a more intensive and different way, depending on the service that's provided. So I have a lot of confidence in the ability of our teachers to be able to do that. That's not uncommon in terms of remedial services or any type of support services when kids are pulled out, and they manage that at every grade level.
Remarkable amount of feedback coming in on all platforms here. Go back to the phones. David in Pittsford. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I have 3 points I'd like to make. First, I am strongly in favor of the full-day kindergarten, and when it came time to vote for it, I voted for it with my nose held. The budget information that they supplied was absolutely inadequate, and when I called to get information about how many children were likely to go into the full-day kindergarten, I couldn't get an answer to that. So if it wasn't for the fact that I strongly favor it, I would have never voted for it. Second, I think that rather than having the entire state's taxpayers support the Pittsford School District's expansion, I think we should try for a legislative solution which would allow us to override the cap 1 year without penalty. And then the rest of the state's taxpayers couldn't really complain about that. And the other point I'd like to make is I have not been able to find out what the superintendent does. I know he gets an awful lot of money, and the staff there gets a lot of money. And I don't really see that we're getting very much for that. We have excellent teachers. One of my kids went to the Pittsford schools, and I was really impressed, favorably impressed by the quality of teaching. But I don't see any much value in the quality of administration there.
All right, David, thank you. Let's work backwards. Superintendent Pirro and Superintendent McGowan are used to this. This comes with the territory if you want this job. So why don't you start with what do you do all day, Mike?
I want to answer the first bullet first. I apologize if you weren't able to get an answer there. If you called me, I would have given you one, because that's one of the things superintendents do.
Okay.
So we're going to connect the one and three.
And he said he wanted to know how many students would be going into full day K. He said he couldn't get an answer. Yeah.
So we would have expected about 20% more of students entering into full day K. I don't have the numbers here, but absolutely. We expected an increase. We expected the majority of the students that are in private schools to come into our full-day classes, and that equated to a projection of nine additional sections of kindergarten. And one of the things that's always the hardest is to try to project about students that aren't in your school district yet. And so I want to be really clear that when we give projections, that's exactly what they are.
You didn't think that you were sort of... You thought you had capacity for it, and you weren't painting an overly optimistic scenario that would have required additional costs down the line.
Correct.
Okay.
So we were hopeful that as we looked at the best case scenario, which is all the students came to Pittsford, and what that would look like, we felt like we had the capacity for all of them to come to us.
Okay. And you want to respond to his comment on, you know, he doesn't understand what superintendent, you make the money, so... You know, you want to justify a little bit more of that.
I'll help my friend Mr. Pirro out on that. I would say I understand where people are coming from, and we should absolutely be accountable to taxpayers for the roles that we fulfill. I think that's a big part of the job, in fact. And so I would generally describe it, because sometimes people don't know. Mike's demonstrated, I think, a lot today around the advocacy that he's done in terms of this legislative effort to support the district. That is a part of the job in terms of advocating with legislators. I think the general notion of managing and leading large organizations, ours is a $70 million a year organization with 600 employees, no different than anybody in any type of, and I'd say this with no ego attached, but a chief executive type of position. Our actual title recognized by the state is chief school officer, fulfilling the same types of functions in terms of, leading an organization, managing an organization. But I think more than anything, we collaborate, depend on large teams of people in a Board of Education to represent the interests of taxpayers and make sure that the thousands of kids that we're responsible for are getting what they need by working with a great team of people to do that and making sure that the community's interests are best served.
And that's well answered, Kevin. I would add that when using the CEO example and running a large organization, this is running a large organization that involves children ranging from ages 5 to 12. And it's in a very emotional, often a very emotional position to be in with interacting with parents and students and staff. And more than that, our planning always operates around how do we help students be better, do better, be prepared for the future? How are we providing professional development for our staff so that we can continue to grow and learn? How are we able to create a budget and make sure that within the budget it satisfies what the community is hoping for?
Let's try to be quick and get two more comments in. Naveen in Pittsburgh, we're going to take your call to end the hour. But a couple of listeners have said, what about teacher raises? They seem to be over the tax cap. One on Twitter says, that's the hidden issue here. I know you heard from a woman named Claire who sent me a letter. She also emailed the program today, asked us to read as much as we could. And she said, you know, how about cutting administrative technology waste and immediate teacher raises? Were those over the cap and were those options for you to kind of work with the money there?
I'm not sure what is meant by that they're over the cap. And okay. I have a hard time getting into the notion of what teachers should make. I firmly believe that our teachers and administrators earn every single penny and exceed all expectations for what the demands are on our administrators and our teachers and support staff today.
Fair enough. Claire also said she thought that when you posted on Facebook that there were people out there trying to sway the vote, it made them out to be less than honorable. Did you mean to insult them?
I'm not sure what she's referring to.
Okay. She said the Pittsburgh DTA posted on Facebook there were people out trying to sway the vote, and she felt kind of insulted by that.
I guess I would just say we never sway the vote. One of the things that actually superintendents are kind of handcuffed is that we cannot go out and ask people to vote yes. And it was really hard because some of the people that wanted full day K were saying, how come you don't come out further and say, get out and vote yes, because.
Okay.
And we never did that.
Okay. Naveen, let's try to keep it to about 30 seconds. Go ahead, Naveen.
Hey, just one quick question or one quick comment I wanted to make was I grew up in Pittsburgh, left, came back, and now I'm raising my family here. My parents still live here, and they're in the process of selling their house. They came or trying to downsize. It came as quite a shock to them that, you know, when I was growing up, maybe I was insulated, I don't know, but Pittsburgh was, you know, the place to be, and it was the place with the best schools. Now, you know, I'm pushing 40, I have kids myself. There are a lot of people who don't feel that way anymore, you know, and this is one of the issues for it. There are a lot of suburbs that have moved up, and, you know, there's a lot of good schools and good places out there. So just a point to make that, you know, this is, of course, it'll increase taxes a little bit, but I think people have to be aware of maintaining their property value, and, you know, if they want to keep the status of Pittsburgh as the place where there are schools, you can't just keep the status quo while other places are raising up. I think I just wanted to make that point. It came as quite a surprise to my parents and others too that people in my generation are looking to other suburbs, and this is one of the issues that when you want your next generation of parents and students to come in, that may sway them to go to another place and decrease the demand for houses and property value in Pittsburgh.
All right, Naveen, thank you. Superintendent, we've got about 30 seconds, so go ahead.
Naveen, I will share that we have incoming residents with students, or with children of kindergarten age, that come to register their child for kindergarten, and they are absolutely shocked that we don't have kindergarten. They just assume that everyone in the state has kindergarten. We have other school districts around us that are now focused on preschool, and so you're absolutely right. We need to keep moving. We need to continuously improve, and we need to get better every year.
I was going to ask you. I assume that you both have heard from parents who go, wait a second, you don't do full-day kindergarten?
Absolutely, and that's an important consideration when people are choosing where to live. There's a lot of great schools doing great things. We're very proud of the work we do, and our people who I think are compensated very fairly and go way above and beyond what they're compensated for. And I think it's important for us to keep in mind that, yes, it's a competitive issue in terms of where people would like to send their kids.
Kevin McGowan is the superintendent of the Brighton Central School District, which will have full day K starting in 2021. Thanks for the time as always, Kevin. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Mike Pirro is the superintendent of Pittsford Central Schools, which still does not have full day K, one of four remaining districts in the state without it and without plans for it. We'll see if that changes next year. Superintendent, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Evan.
All right, short break. More connections next.